Early voting for the West Virginia's June 9th primary elections begins tomorrow. But with voters able to request an absentee mail-in ballot due to the ongoing pandemic, some votes have already been cast. But that's not the only thing that makes this election one to watch. Reporter Dave Mistich takes a look at some key races the parties have identified this election cycle and some ideological divides that are making their way to the forefront.
Before the coronavirus made its way to West Virginia and delayed the state's primary, the upcoming election was already shaping up to be one of the most closely watched in recent years. West Virginia Wesleyan College political science professor Robert Rupp says the upcoming primary stands out for a few reasons.
One is we moved the date, and second of all, we're changing the way, the method we vote by this big push for absenteeism. So it's a historic primary in many ways, and because of the virus, it's been underreported and hardly seen.
As far as races to watch, Rupp points to each party's gubernatorial primary as being a pivotal moment in the state's political history. Namely, that's because incumbent governors are rarely challenged within their own party. Governor Jim Justice is one exception to that rule, with former State Commerce Secretary and businessman Woody Thrasher and former delegate Michael Folk among the top challengers running to win the GOP nomination.
Governor Justice has a lot of baggage between the residents and the fact that he was elected as a Democrat. So I'm going to be looking to see if that baggage is going to make a surprise in the primary, because he's a very unusual governor in this state.
But Rupp says the focus on Justice and the race for the Republican nomination for governor isn't the most interesting aspect of this year's primary for the state's top office. He says that comes from the other side of the aisle, with eight Democratic candidates in the race.
The fact is that the Democratic Party is in the middle of an identity crisis. If Republicans have to decide if they want to keep the current Republican governor, Democrats have to decide which way are they on. Are they reformist or are they revolution? What should the party do since it obtained minority status?
Top contenders in the race for the Democratic nomination are Kanawha County Commissioner Ben Salengo, community organizer Stephen Smith, and physician and state senator Ron Stallings. Salengo has the backing of state Democratic stalwart U.S. Senator Joe Manchin. Smith is running a grassroots, small-dollar fundraising campaign that promises sweeping social reforms for the state. And Stallings has touted his experience in state government and has positioned himself as a moderate. While Rupp says the gubernatorial primaries are the main races to watch, he points to other marquee figures in the state's political sphere that are seeing challenges within their own parties, most notably the president of the state Senate.
Mitch Carmichael is being challenged in the Republican primary. This shouldn't be happening according to history or textbook.
Carmichael, who drew the ire of West Virginia teachers over the past 2 years for his push for charter schools and other controversial education reforms, is being challenged by Delegate Jim Butler for the 4th Senatorial District. Butler has positioned himself as more conservative than Carmichael, taking aim at Carmichael's push for a last-dollar-in grant program for community college and expressing support for equal rights for LGBTQ communities. While political parties are understandably timid when it comes to weighing in on their own primaries, West Virginia Republican Party Executive Director Byron Fisher says he feels the depth of candidates shows that the GOP has continued to pick up momentum since taking control of the state house in 2014. Part of that, Fisher says, is President Donald Trump's big win here in 2016.
Republicans were already moving that. West Virginia was already moving that way when President Trump was elected. So I think it's his popularity, but it's also the values and the policies that he and the Republican Party espouse and seek to implement.
Fisher also notes that Republicans have a candidate on the ballot in all races, except for 3 seats in the House of Delegates.
It is a sign of a strong, vibrant, growing party that we have a lot of candidates interested in the office of governor or any office that we have that's contested. It means that the nomination is something worth having. And the Republican Party in West Virginia is strong and ascendant.
Fisher says the West Virginia Republican Party is also keeping a close eye on the three seats up for the state Supreme Court that will be decided this upcoming election. While those races are nonpartisan, he says the state GOP has endorsed three candidates, current Justice Tim Armstead, Laura Dyer, and Chris Raines.
I don't think it's necessarily partisan, but there is a certain view that does seem to fall down partisan lines.
Campaign finance reports certainly reflect that there's a partisan influence on the races for the state's high court. The Republican State Leadership Committee's Judicial Fairness Initiative has made big-dollar donations in support of Armstead, Dyer, and Raines. Democrats see the nonpartisan Supreme Court races, which will ultimately be decided in the June 9th election, as confusing for some voters.
In my books, there's no such thing as nonpartisan, and we absolutely identify who the Democrats in those races are.
That's West Virginia Democratic Party Chair Belinda Biafor. For her, the old system, which had judges clearly identified with one party or another, worked much better. The nonpartisan election of judges in West Virginia began in 2016.
The only way that voters really had a way to gauge who would be a good Supreme Court justice or a magistrate or a judge was to know if they were a Democrat or Republican, because knowing how they were registered would give you a good idea of knowing what they stood for and what values and things were important to them. So taking that all away and just throwing everybody in a bunch, I just think has been unfair to voters.
Biafor says she and Democrats also don't take sides in their own primaries, but she says they're keeping their eyes on the Republicans in the state Senate and how races will shape up for November.
In the Eastern Panhandle with Patricia Rucker, you know, I think the voters over there felt like she doesn't listen to what they had to say. When it came to charter schools, they were not in favor of them, but yet she did everything in her power to make sure that that passed. And I think that she lost touch with folks over there.
Jefferson County Sheriff Pete Daugherty is running against Rucker. Both are uncontested in their respective primaries for the state's 16th senatorial district and will face off against one another in November. But Biafor says she and the Democrats have their eyes on other big-named Republicans and their primary races.
As far as Mitch Carmichael, absolutely, he's at the top of our list. Should he even make it through the primary? But we're looking at taking him out.
While each party is excited to see who will make the ballot come November, there's another ideological battle brewing this election cycle: expanded absentee voting because of the ongoing coronavirus pandemic. Following President Trump's lead, Republicans across the country are taking issue with the widespread implementation of absentee voting by mail. West Virginia Republicans like Byron Fisher are questioning the integrity of such votes in the primary.
You know, there are reasons why people vote absentee, and so, you know, that is certainly valid. But in terms of this upcoming election, we are really encouraging Republicans to vote early in person or vote on election day in person, if at all possible.
West Virginia's chief elections officer, Secretary of State Mack Warner, recently sent allegations of mail-in fraud to the state's U.S. attorneys for further investigation. Biafor says absentee voting has been around a while and works just fine.
It's nothing new. Of course, it became a bigger pool of people that were, using that type vote. But the real disappointment I find is that the governor and the attorney general and the secretary of state all worked with the state chairman and came up with this plan, introduced this plan, and now all of a sudden it's not a good plan. I think that's unfortunate.
West Virginia Wesleyan College professor Robert Rupp says voters should expect to see more non-traditional ways of voting being used in the future. He says the squabble over absentee voting misses the true intent of our election system and democracy in general.
My belief is that within 10 years, we'll probably not only be voting by mail, we'll probably be doing online if we have the technology to do it. Because the key isn't showing up on election day. The key is a referendum that is honest for voters to express their opinion.
The deadline to submit an application for an absentee ballot is Wednesday, June 3rd. Those mail-in ballots must be postmarked by election day, which is Tuesday, June 9th. Early voting starts Wednesday, May 27th, and runs through the Saturday before the election. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Dave Mistich.
For more information on how to vote early, how to vote absentee by mail, and other details on West Virginia's primary election, visit us online at wvpublic.org.